Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine you get to a place in your life where you accomplish all of your goals and all of your dreams come true. You have the perfect job, the perfect husband or wife, the perfect children, the perfect church, all of your bills are paid, you have some money in the bank, and you're in perfect health for your age. Yet, let me ask you this. If all of those things come true, what do you really have? You see, even if all of those things come true, it all could be gone in the blink of an eye. It does not matter what we get in this world. It will all pass away. Like the grass that withers and blows away, so are the things of this world. So are you and I. If I spend all of my time trying to find pleasure, I will be disappointed. If I spend all of my time making wealth, what security will it give me on my deathbed? If I have the perfect spouse, how will I feel when he or she breathes their last? How will I feel when he or she sins against me? What will I do if one of my children gets sick and I cannot take care of them? Now, I'm not asking these questions to bring up painful memories or to have us worried about the future. I am bringing these things up because we often put all of our hope in things that will not last or in people who cannot really give us everything we need. Don't get me wrong, things are good and people are blessings. But neither can rescue us from hell, and neither can bring us to everlasting life. We want to be at peace, whether we have or whether we have not. The people in our gospel lesson, they were in bad shape. In fact, in the spot where it said, with all manner of sickness, the translation could be in people that were in a bad way. They were in bad shape. They had heard that Jesus could cast out a demon. In fact, he did it in the synagogue that morning. And it got them to thinking, well, maybe this Jesus, maybe he can help me as well. And the first to ask Jesus for help were his disciples. Immediately, Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. When the disciples saw Jesus cast out that demon, they knew that he could help their relative as well. We do the same thing in prayer, don't we? They believed when they saw Jesus' miracle, and we believe by the power of the Holy Spirit when we read this scripture. We believe that Jesus can do anything we ask, and so did they. And Jesus came through. He healed Simon's mother-in-law. It was a miracle. And the other miraculous thing is that as soon as this woman was healed, she began to serve. She immediately began to serve Jesus and his disciples. This was something that she no doubt wanted to do for her guests, but her illness held her back. But the freedom that Jesus gave her from her illness allowed her to make her guests feel at home. And as they were relaxing at the close of the Sabbath, something began to happen. That evening at sundown, the townspeople brought to Jesus all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Jesus healed the man at the church. He healed Simon's mother-in-law. Why can't he heal me? Why can't he heal my sick child? Why can't he heal my husband, my wife, my friend? So the people brought everyone that they could find who was in a bad way, and they brought them to Jesus, as we do in our prayers. In Jesus, they found hope for their problems. This was a good thing because he is the only real hope that anyone has. And he delivered. Mark says that he healed many, but Luke's investigation into the matter, going back to the town years later, has the townspeople recording that Jesus healed every last person. Can you imagine the euphoria? Every prayer answered. It would be like going from barely surviving to the greatest joy. You can't imagine this. Every single person being healed. In Jesus, they had found an answer to all of their problems. In Jesus, they were no longer plagued by demons. In him, they were no longer blind, sick, or crippled. In Jesus, they had heaven on earth. They never wanted him to leave because everything was bliss. It's like they had everything they wanted. All their dreams had come true. All of their hopes and goals were accomplished because Jesus visited them. We began the sermon by pondering what it would be like if we had all that we hoped for come true. These people were living that reality, and they didn't want it to stop. I know I wouldn't want it to stop. Yet I'm not sure about this, but I wonder if the people didn't miss the point. I know that we sometimes miss the point. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everybody's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The people were searching for Jesus, but he had already given them the most important thing that they could ever have. He preached repentance and forgiveness of sins. He preached that in him the word of God, the promise of God, was fulfilled. This was the message that everybody needed to hear. To show that this message was authoritative, he healed the sick. He cast out demons. This was a sign, and it was an Old Testament fulfillment. The Messiah would do the things that Jesus was doing. You might be lost right now and wondering what in the world I'm talking about. Well, here's the thing. Every single person that was brought to Jesus on that particular Saturday still died. They were healed, but that healing did not last in this fallen world. If their hope was getting over a fever, or regained sight, or even being freed from a demon, this would not last. The only thing that lasts is Jesus himself and his word that he came to fulfill. Here is the truly faithful. The person that has not one prayer answered and yet holds on to the promise of everlasting life through Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins. Here is the truly faithful. The person who trusts that no matter what my outward circumstances are, I am free from sin and its accusations. And I have a home in heaven because Jesus washed my sin away in the gift of baptism. Because Jesus gives me his body and blood in the supper. And even if my body withers away, I am not ruined because I am written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I may not accomplish any of my goals, but Jesus has shed his blood for me and all of my failings and all of my sin and for the death that I deserve. My hope is in his word. It is in his gospel. Whether he gives or whether he takes away, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I look at the cross of Jesus, and I cannot see a cruel or distant God. I look at his cross, and I see a God who would never leave me nor forsake me. And even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because I look to my right, I look to my left, I look in front of me, and I look behind me, and Christ is right there with me. I am not alone. And his word, it comforts me in the water. It comforts me in the bread and wine. It comforts me in the proclamation of my forgiveness. If I pray for my healing at all, it should be so that I have freedom to serve, just as Simon's mother-in-law did. She was healed to serve, so that others may come to believe. She helped those in need so that they would understand that the Lord is good, so that they would desire to hear what the Lord has to say. And then as they listen to his word, they hear of their only true hope. the hope that lies in being united with Christ's death and resurrection, as St. Paul proclaims in Romans chapter 6. I pray that God would heal each and every one of you, as he did the people in that town, and that he would heal you to serve. Paul himself became a blind man who was healed to serve. He was healed and regained his sight, and he was a healed man. He was a healed man who received the waters of holy baptism. And in those waters, he became a child of God. And he himself, being made free by the gospel, declared that he was made free to serve. He says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." You see, the gospel is all about Jesus for you. Jesus for you is all about God's love for the world. When your trust is in it, heaven and everlasting life are yours. In this life, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, in the life to come, they shall renew their strength. We confessed it. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thanks be to our God, our hope in this perishing world. Our hope is in Jesus and his eternal word. And we pray that all people would recognize that this world's pleasures, they are fleeting. And we pray that all would turn to the one who alone brings hope that will not disappoint. In the name of Jesus, amen.